Okay. All right. Well, he wants to kick off with something.
Well, I woke up I woke up with two things. The first one is, two nights ago I dreamed that we were on this mentoring thing, and that I was like, I wanted to go into an encounter. I want to do the fire stones and go into the trophy room. And so the last time we did that, I don't know if I liked that or not, but I thought, I woke up and went, okay. And so that was one thing. And then the second thing was about the alpha group and how far behind I am. That I feel like I'm far behind. And so I know you said there's no time crunch, but okay. Just wanted maybe you to address that a little bit, or I was thinking, yeah,
Okay.
about the time that
Sure.
I went to
Well,
two conferences, and so it was, anyway, yeah.
sure. I mean, there is no time limit to it. It takes as long as it takes for people to engage it. I know the first module was very much preparation, so there was a lot of background information that you probably already know. But it was just to make sure everyone was at least on the same page or has the same access to understanding where we're going and why we're going there. So really, you just take as long as you want to go through that to the degree that you want to. I mean, it's really just bringing people up to that sort of level of understanding. And the next module, which I released last week, is really where we really start to practice and look at the exercises to engage our spirit and build our spirit. And again, it takes as long as it takes. It isn't a race, and it's not like, well, I'm trying to get through all the material so I can get onto the next module. If it's not a lifestyle and we're not living it and we're not able to outwork it and practice that and be part of who we are, then in reality it's just information. So the more we can engage from the first principles of engaging to help somebody else. I mean, the purpose obviously is that when other people come through to want to engage this stuff, we have to be able to teach them in some way, and we have to be able to help them deal with where they are, and they may well be starting from scratch of knowing nothing. And so that's really why it follows a systematic path forward. So that we can just enable anybody to be able to engage God and engage their destiny and then follow through. So it takes as long as it takes. It doesn't really matter to me in one sense how long it takes for people. I'll just keep putting modules out, and if people are one module behind or two modules behind, that's fine. It's no problem. So I'm not testing people. It's really for people's personal engagement to be able to say, yeah, I feel confident that I could take someone through this because I have my own personal testimonies to how this works in my life. I'm just using my initial testimonies as the starting point so that people can develop their own. In a sense, it has to become the pathways that we develop in our own spirit and soul so that we can choose to engage there at will. I mean, that's the point. If we're going to bring the rulership of heaven to earth, we have to be able to go to heaven when we need to go, which is all the time. So, if we can't do that, then we won't be able to establish the government of God. And if we are in a place where, well, we're relying on engaging in times of worship or other things that maybe provide an atmosphere to make things easier at times without being able to step in, whether I'm, at home, in bed, walking down the street, in my car, wherever it might be, my spirit has to be able to engage. And therefore, learning the different ways my spirit engages is absolutely key. So it isn't just, well, when I get this vision, then I can engage, because you can't really have a vision while you're driving your car. Otherwise, you may well be slightly a danger to the other users of the road. But you can engage in a conversation with God. You can actually have your spirit knowing where you are and being active in that realm, even while you're cognitively somewhere else doing something else, and be able to connect up with your spirit at any moment and receive the revelation or understanding of things. So, you know, I can be driving down the road and I can be doing a court case, and my spirit can be engaged in that realm of heaven, and my spirit can be totally active and my mind connected to it while I'm doing something else. But you have to practice being able to do two or three things at once, so that we're able to do those things when we need to do them, not limited by creating an atmosphere or any of those things, because my spirit doesn't need an atmosphere to step into the realm where it lives and belongs anyway. It just needs to be knowing and practicing how to do it. And so, you know, I need to be able to engage in the revelation and experience of the Word of God and the truth, and to have Jesus as the way, truth, and the life in reality in me and within me, and so that I can engage. I mean, it's amazing to think that I have within me the I am. And all that I am means, which will take us an eternity to even scratch the surface on in one sense of what I am really is, dwells in me, and I have access to that, all that that means. So, you know, you can look at the omnipresence and omnipotent God, and you can look at the God who is omniscient, and he lives in me, and I have access to him in relationship. Well, that means that I can in him be anywhere and know anything and do anything, because I have that relationship established and I'm connected to him and I can flow with him and everything else. So it's just developing that and experiencing it from the point of really, really knowing who we are and knowing who he is, so that we can come out of the truth. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I really want to embrace the fullness of what that means. And to do that, I have to spend time there. I mean, you know, we just finished the module, really, that I've just put out here. So we're probably 8 weeks ahead as I'm doing this through the church. But I've, for the last month, I've been preparing for the next module, which is First Love. And, you know, and I thought, yeah, we'll do a couple of sessions maybe on First Love and we'll just move on. Every time I've opened my First Love gate, God has just embraced me and wouldn't let me go. I mean, just kept me there for an hour or more, so that I've embraced him. I've embraced the Holy Spirit. I've embraced Jesus. I've embraced the Father. He's gone through the whole procedure about who he is, what he does, what Jesus does, what the Spirit does in fullness. And it's been an amazing thing. So I now can't just do one or two sessions just to say, oh, we're going to open this gate and we're going to move on, because God wouldn't let me go. You know, he would not let me go until I had a fuller relational connection and understanding with what it is to embrace the Holy Spirit. You know, what it is to engage the river of life there, what it is to be yoked to Jesus, what it is to have the Father be enthroned on the mountain of our spirit, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know, and it was just complete. He embraced me and he just revealed those things. You know, I didn't have to do anything. He just revealed more and more who he is, and therefore I have a greater understanding of who I am, because I've just allowed him to embrace me in that way. You know, because quite often it's like I want to move on and do stuff. He just wouldn't let me do it. You know, and I really now appreciate the depth of that, because now I have something in terms of testimony and experience, to be able to share and to help others teach. And then, you know, the reality of those personal engagements, we're not going to rush, because how can we rush knowing the I am? You know, it's just amazing to experience that and understand that at that sort of level, you know. So, you know, that's really where, you know, I sort of feel the whole process is, it isn't one to rush, you know. So, you know, you can't really be behind, because there isn't anything to be behind. It's just about relationship with him, really. So don't worry about that too much.
Well, I appreciate the overview and like where you're going, because that helps me with the beginning stuff, because when I first opened it, yeah. So that helps me, you know, so that we can chew it up and turn around and feed it to others.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I'm looking for too, is the ability to do that. So thanks for the overview. That was good.
No problem. Okay. Has anyone else got a question before? I mean, I'm quite happy to do an encounter and engage with some things, but if anyone's got any other questions or anything they want to ask first, that's fine.
Well, Mike, I thought it was funny how you said exactly what I was going to talk about, because I think I'm shifting, because I'm more of a seer, and now the Lord's making it so I don't see as much, just engage. And so I'm doing a lot of things by faith. And it's cute because, you know, I have friends that have had to start there, and I'm going the opposite way. So it's kind of interesting, and I think it's just part of learning.
Absolutely. Because, you know, it's our spirit engages in so many different ways, but you know, if we don't learn how to do all of them, then when we come to people who are struggling in this area, we won't have the testimony to be able to say, look, it's okay. No, because knowing in my spirit, and my spirit actually engaging in that real connection with that realm, so it's there, has to be communicated in me in such a way that I can be in dual realms at the same time. You know, I can't be consciously in the realm of heaven and consciously here talking with somebody if I don't know how to connect those spiritual and sort of soul consciousness. And that's really why it's about learning to hear and to see and to feel and to receive the impressions that you need to be able to engage in it, you know, and that's okay. You know, it takes time to develop those senses. We usually do have a predominantly more dominant one that we're used to using, but I think if that is visual, then that becomes problematic when you need to be able to do several things at once, because if it's only real when you see it, you can't see it when you're doing certain things. You need to be able to experience it and it be just as real in the experience as it is when we can visually engage. And in a sense, visual information is still information that's encoded or de-encoded or interpreted by our brain so that we understand something. You know, it's really about perception, and perception isn't just visual, you know. And so I think over probably the last 12 months, I think it's one of the areas which I think I've realized the most, that people value the visual more than anything else. And actually, if we put that value on it, then we devalue something else. And God wants us to value all the connection and relationship and the way in which he communicates to us, and to appreciate it and really understand that God chooses in certain seasons to do certain things because he wants us to embrace that. You know, You know, so I had just been talking to someone this morning, and they were like, well, I haven't been able to see anything for months. But Sunday I was able to see, and I had this, and I had this, and I went this, and I had these angels, and they did this, and they were like, wow, wow. I said, well, okay, well, what's happened over the last months? Have you been completely at a standstill just because you haven't seen? Oh, no. So I said, well, actually, God sometimes does that because he wants you to know that he can communicate in different ways and that you can receive just as much through that as any other way, you know. And I think, you know, we're all on this journey in that way, to understand and engage in that. Yeah.
Mike, this is Pena. Hi. Yeah. I've been really struggling to get into a deeper, intimate place with the Lord. Can you walk us through an exercise or activation of cleansing our first love gate, since you just recently had that happen?
Yeah, I mean, some of it is just, it's very much just about embracing him and allowing all our senses to engage with him. You know, if there's a first love issue, I mean, I've got to be honest, I never really had a first love issue. I had so much inner healing and ministry over the years, it's just like there was no real blockage in me. But in reality, our spirit that, you know, has the kingdom within it, you know, and in my experience, that is like a pillar of cloud that sort of engages right up into the realms of heaven, and the first love gate is in that pillar. It's in my spirit. There is nothing in my spirit that's of the enemy. You know, so the enemy just isn't there. But because the enemy is so used to being able to push my buttons, then he can project an image that my first love gate can't be opened, or it's blocked, or there's chains, or different things. The reality is he's got no access into my spirit. But if he can deceive me into thinking that I can't open that first love gate, or that some way it's like it's not really accessible and that things, then he can essentially just fool me. And the reality is, it's like Jesus is knocking on that door, according to Revelation 3:20, every day. And he's speaking, you know, it says, behold, you know, I stand at the door and knock. So even in that scripture, behold means see. You know, so he's saying, behold, look, here, this is the reality. I'm standing at this door. Where is that door? That door is the door into the realm of the kingdom, which is in my spirit, and I'm knocking. Then it says, whoever hears my voice, so he's not just knocking, he's actually saying stuff. Like, I wonder what he's saying. Like, maybe let me in. I'm here. Hi. It's like, he's speaking, and he's standing knocking, and he's saying, let me in. And it's then whoever opens the door, I'm going to come in, and we're going to basically eat together. We're going to share, and that intimacy of breaking bread, of sharing life, because he's the bread of life, you know, and he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the door. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. Well, there are so many different analogies that he uses to share who he is. Then all we have to do is consciously choose to open the door, because the handle is on our side. You know, we can open. There's nothing that can stop us opening that door, because it is our spirit. It's actually who we are that we are inviting his presence to come and engage with, so that we can be embraced by him, we can embrace him, and then we can begin to engage with whoever he wants to engage with us as. In a sense, the Father, Son, and the Spirit are all present. And if you think of John 14, You know, it's like, you know, that whole, that's my favorite passage, favorite chapter in the whole Bible. You know, it's fallen out of my Bible several times and I've stuck it back in. It's because I read it and I engage it and I enter into it, you know, and Jesus is saying there, you know, it's like, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Now, he's not talking about heaven. He's not talking about, he's talking about the fact that the house of God is made up of people and that we're all dwelling places of his presence. And it basically says, you know, if I go and prepare, now it's been translated a place for you to come. And that is just totally the wrong interpretation of what it's saying. Literally what it's saying is, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to prepare you to be a dwelling place. And then you will have access to the dwelling place where I am. Because that's what he says, you know, where I am, there you will be. And he goes on to explain where he is. I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. And so then it says in verse 20 that it says, on that day, you will know that I'm in you and you're in me. What day was he talking about? Not the day we die. The day he was resurrected and opened up us to be a dwelling place for the Spirit and for him and the Father. And then in verse 23 it says, you know, basically we're going to come and make our home. So, but they don't come and invade. They come on invitation. So we have to invite him to come and dwell in us. And then we have to daily invite him to come in when we open the door. You know, because it's a daily thing. Daily I need to embrace this. And I think it's not just once and then it's done. There has to be this daily relationship and intimacy and dependence. And so when I open that first love gate, I'm just waiting for the embrace. I don't know who's going to embrace me most of the time, because it's who's going to come through that door, if you think about it like that. You know, sometimes it's like the river of God just flows out and the river of life flows in, and it's just like I find myself drinking living water and just find exuberance and energy and excitement, and it's like, wow, joy is just overflowing in the river, and I'm dancing in the river, and it's just like, wow, it's awesome. You know, and it's just, sometimes it's just like Jesus comes through that gate, and it's just like, he just embraces me, and it's like, I just receive his yoke. It's like, I take your yoke upon me, and I want to be joined to you. I want to become one with you. And there's that sense of intimacy there, that is an entwining of seed, really. I mean, that's, you know, where it talks about in 1 Corinthians 6:17, whoever becomes joined to the Lord becomes one spirit. And the whole thing, you know, in the previous couple of verses, it's talking about don't be joined to a prostitute. It's actually talking about a sexual union. Now, that's not what it is, but it's that intimate. It's really what it means to have two seeds joined, you know. And so when he embraces me like that, it's like I want him to just become one with me, and I become one with him, and then I become gentle and humble in heart, and I learn from him, and I'm at rest, totally safe, totally secure. And sometimes it feels like I'm in the arms of a lion, and sometimes it feels like I'm in the arms of a lamb. Just even in Jesus coming there, he can come in so many different ways, and there's no end to the ways that he comes. And then sometimes the Father just comes through, and it's just like he embraces me, and it's like, I want to father you today. I want to teach you how to be a son. I want to share sonship with you and show you this. And so invite me to come onto the throne of your life so that you can sit next to me, like Jesus is sat next to me in heaven. You can sit next to me on my right hand side, and I'm going to empower you to be a son. And it's just like, I've no idea who's going to come through the door and who's going to embrace me first and how they're going to do it. It's just a joyous occasion where I want to engage with him in such a way that it's all about him and not about me. And I've just learned to just wait there for that. You know, then I allow my spirit then begins to engage. And it's like, okay, where do we need to go? What do we need to do? Where do you want to take me? You know, if I'm joined to you, where are we going? You know, do we need to go to my garden? It's like, do we need to go straight into the realms of heaven? Do we go back through the door that I've just opened, which gives me access to go up through that cloud and engage in the river of life where it's flowing? So I can engage in the waterfall or the garden of God or the tree of life or any of those sort of amazing places within the garden. All these things just become accessible because I've just fellowshipped with him, and he's going to feed me, if you like, with what I need for the day. You know, and some of that ends up being just conversation. You know, I mean, the conversation for over the last month has been really one-sided. It's just like he just tells me more and more and more and more things. You know, and I just, one day he just sort of said, right, I want to reveal myself to you, and I want you just to receive all these names of who I am. And so I was just there, and I tried to journal this stuff while it's happening. So I'm just like, and I just couldn't keep up with all the things he was just revealing. In the end, I just gave up. I said, oh, I'm just going to embrace it. You know, and then the Holy Spirit did the same. And it's just like, all these words that sort of describe the feelings and the engagement with the Spirit and with him just began to explode in a sort of experiential way. And the same with Jesus. And I had these you know, several times this just happened where it was just this amazing unveiling of a deeper sense of who they are. And when I'm embracing them, what it is to feel that. Because it's got to be experiential. If it's just a word, you know, what is the fullness? It's like when Jesus speaks a word as the living, active word of God, it contains all the potential of what that word means for personal experience and encounter. So when he speaks it and we're in an embrace, it's like it explodes with potential. You know, it just overflows with the potential for what that word means. And, you know, I could spend eternity in one word with him, because it just like, the more I'm there, the more it reveals its meaning of what the intention and purpose of God is in that word, which describes something of our relationship or something of his nature and something of his character or just something of what it's like to be him. You know, so I just had these lists of words which just as he spoke them just burst into life, and I'm like, wow. And my spirit is just absorbing all this. You know, cognitively I did get some of it. Sometimes it was just too overwhelming an experience to get a cognitive understanding of it, but my spirit just absorbed the frequency, because each word doesn't just contain a meaning, but a frequency and a fragrance and a light and a color and emotion, all those things in one word. And I'm just thinking, here I have the I am who is everything, and he's there embracing me. It's like, no wonder he wouldn't let me go. You know, because I hadn't experienced the depths of that in that way. Now, you know, when I do get to sort of share this with people, there's a sort of a something that I carry now that I didn't carry before. You know, now I find it difficult to explain it totally, because it's like you need to feel it rather than just hear it. But, you know, that's how it is. You know, it's just an amazing opportunity to embrace him that way. So in a sense, it's not so much about cleansing a gateway, but just choosing to open it and then just be expectantly waiting for whatever comes so we can engage, you know, and experience and embrace that, you know, if that makes sense.
It does, Mike. Thank you. It connects the dots for me. Because I struggle with intimacy. I grew up in a very stern family that were not expressive. And so the Lord's for like been dealing with me for the last 2 weeks about becoming more intimate with Him. And I was at a quandary because I realized I didn't really understand that one word of intimacy. So I've been pressing in, and He's been doing the work, as you said. I'm becoming humble, contrite. I'm becoming aware of how much I do need Him. I'm losing that independent spirit of, I can do it, let's do it, let's get on with it. It's more of knowing that I am in Him and that He's leading me and He's empowering me. And I'm reconnecting with Him and the original intention of why I was created. So thank you. This is really very clarifying, because I kept wondering, how do I cleanse my love gate? I'm not really sure what that is. And every time I go and take communion every day, I enter into the holy place and I present myself to the high priest of my confession, and you know, so that He can prepare me to present me to the Father, and I stay there. And that's, I haven't been able to get out of the holy the holy of holies, and being cleansed and washed. So thank you. This really connects the dots, because He's been working with me, like you said, with one word, and that word has been becoming alive and active, accomplishing what it was intended to do. His word is not idle, and I'm learning about intimacy. So thank you.
Yeah, and in a sense, it's like where we engage as a living sacrifice is on the pathway of responsibility, so that we can engage in a mandate for the will of God in my life every day. And it is an intimate place. It's the most intimate place in that realm, which engages us to be able to step into Him and access into His heart in eternity. But it's not the same as Him being in us, you know. And I mean I have to be honest, I used to do the same. I would open my first love gate quickly, essentially surrender my whole body and life for the flow of the Spirit to come around me and create an atmosphere. Then I wanted to go and engage around the ark to find out what I should do today. And, you know, and He got me the same way, in that, you know, I used to find out, okay, this is the will of God, here's a mandate. And then He suddenly wouldn't give me a mandate until I stepped deeper into Him. You know, it's like until I looked more, rather than, hey, don't rush away. You know, don't rush away from this place. You know, you didn't stay with me on the inside of you, so I'm actually going to keep you here, so you're not going to get a mandate until you stayed here longer. You know, and I discovered there was intimacy there, but it's different, because you are going into His domain, where in us, He is coming into ours. And so the emotions and the engagement within us is different than when we step into Him. And the feelings are different, you know, it's just different, because it's a different place. Even though we're in Him and He's in us, it is different. And He wants us to experience all the wonder and the wealth of those experiences, so that we get a fullness of all what it's supposed to be, you know. So it's not just one aspect or the other, it's both together, flowing together, and it flows out of the relationship and out of the intimacy. And you know, I mean, I come from the same sort of background. It's like, you know, didn't really have intimacy as a child, didn't really have any connection, particularly with Father, in that sort of type of relationship. So I was pretty much unfathered and didn't really have an understanding of it. And I now it's like that is just being unveiled and unfurled and released, and I wouldn't encourage anyone to rush away from the awe and wonder of developing that intimacy and becoming one. and knowing what it is to be joined and entwined and connected to Him. So that it is like we do stuff together rather than I do stuff for Him. You know, which is the sort of the, well, I'm at it, my duty is to serve, so I serve Him. Actually, He wants us to do things with Him and cooperate with Him and do things together rather than it being, well, I'm doing something on His behalf. You know, I've gone through the stewardship, you know, it's okay, but I much prefer the friendship and I much prefer being joined to Him in even deeper levels of connection. You know, with an understanding the different personalities that they represent. You know, I love the Holy Spirit. You know, most of my engagement with the Holy Spirit was about, well, gifts and doing stuff and power and dynamics. There's just such a creativity and an exuberance and an overflow and extravagance of movement and energy and life that if I spend my time embracing, just fills me to overflow, you know, and so with all of who God is, you know, and then you can engage with wisdom and engage with, you know, others to the seven spirits of God. You know, we've just had some amazing encounters here on Sundays with the seven spirits of God and the colors and the flags and just people stepping into the cloud and the pillars that are the, of the color, and it's just amazing, you know. Just revealing more and more of who we are in relationship with Him for our, in a sense, position of government, but it comes out of that wonderful intimacy of His presence, first of all. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff, I find.
You know, it's interesting, Mike, that you would mention something that resonated very strongly in my spirit, that we are a being, we are not a doing. Yeah. And somehow we get entangled with religion, and religion trains us to be a doing. And we run around from seminar to seminar, from work to work, from here, from there, but we don't run to be intimate because we're not taught. But religion cannot give us what they do not have. So after 34 years of being in religion, I'm coming into a place of intimacy, into a place, and I'm really planted by the river of living water. I'm being refreshed. I'm being productive. I'm getting more done than I've ever done with less effort and less work. And there's such clarity when I come into that holy place with Him, and I'm cleansed and I'm washed. And it's like, phenomenal. It's phenomenal. I'm like, wow, where would I be now if I had been here 34 years ago? You know, so I'm trusting the Lord to redeem the time, and my end will be better than my beginning, and I'm just really blessed for these times. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, well, maybe it was just a good place that we could just spend some time engaging, and it's like, yeah, we can open that first love gate and just engage and begin to engage at a deeper level of intimacy, and then just be open. If, like, you know, you saw yourself going to the fire stones, then be open. If that's where God wants to take you, then allow Him to take you there. If it's into the river, into the river. If it's into, I don't know, the Holy of Holies, into the Holy of Holies. But allow, in being embraced, that your spirit will just be led to wherever you need to go. Maybe He wants to take you to engage wisdom and to engage the heights. So let's maybe just practice that a little bit and open our spirit to it, and let's see where it goes. So I just encourage you again just to close your eyes and just engage your spirit. Allow your spirit just to begin to engage with first love and the first love gate. Just I'd encourage you to do that. Just see that gateway. Feel the expectation in your spirit to just open that first love gate and invite his presence just to come through that gate and embrace you. And I just encourage you, just embrace his presence. Whether it's the Father who embraces you right now, just allow all your senses to engage him. If it's Jesus who's embracing you, just be open. It's the Holy Spirit who's embracing you. Just suspend this time, allowing them to reveal the deeper experience of their presence to you. Feel your heart burn with passion as he reveals himself and embraces you, as he pulls you deeper and deeper into him. You find yourself being lost in the wonder of I am, that he is the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life, the door, the shepherd, the resurrection and the life. Yourself becoming entwined and inter-entwined and joined to him. Joined, connected, becoming one. Connected to the omnipresent God who can take you any place. To the omniscient God who can reveal anything. And the omnipotent God who can do all things. Just feel his embrace. Thank you. just sense that they would just be open now to lead you to the desires of your heart. Just be willing to follow where they lead. Just begin to feel the joy and the peace and the love that just flows from their heart to you. The affirmation, acceptance and approval that just touches each fiber, each atom of your being. Feel how loved and accepted, how safe, how secure you are with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with the Father, the wonder of their embrace, the wonder of the depth of their love for you, the eternal nature of their heart expressed in your emotions, in your mind, in your body. Just allow the wonder of how they think about you and the vast sum of the thoughts they have for you and your destiny. Just allow your spirit to absorb the frequency and the fragrance of it, the emotion of it. They love you to walk with them. They love to reveal things to you and for you and to show you deeper and deeper things, calling to you to come deeper, deep calling to deep, to come deeper and deeper into them, and they will become deeper and deeper in you, one, joined, connected. Oneness. Thank you. just prepare your heart, your spirit to value and to store and to just appreciate the revelation, the experience, the encounter that you're having. If you want to stay in that encounter, just continue to stay there. If you want to step back from that encounter, feel free. I'm just going to just sign off there. But feel free. I think some of you just may want to just continue being in that place and going with that flow. And we'll catch up again in a couple of weeks' time. But feel free just to continue in that place.